Welcome to Skyline. So glad you're here this morning. And I want to introduce our... Yeah, it's very bright. It's okay. They can see you. That's you're just looking at blobs out there. It's all right. Get used to it. So I want to introduce Hallie Waugh. Hallie has been part of our worship team for a long time, and she has a gift with words that I'm so excited this morning to hear, but also is a woman that I respect, who's filled with the Spirit and who has leadership capability beyond her years. And so one of the things that we've committed to as a church is to live into the book of Acts and try to see those stories come to life in our own community. And one of those really key texts is Acts 2, where the book of Joel is quoted and says, "In those days I'll pour out my spirit. Young men will dream dreams. Young women will see visions and prophesy. Old and young, servants." And so we just think that one of the marks of the Holy Spirit operating in the church is where he's empowering women. And this last week, I went to a conference that was my denomination I was a part of. It's called Church of God Anderson, Indiana, which is about the smallest speck on the church's back you could find anywhere. But Francis Chan spoke, and it was unbelievable. And he was just exhorting the older folks in the church to get back in the game, to say, like, don't retire from the kingdom. Like God needs to use you. Hand off the ministry to young people. Mentor, disciple them, love them, cheer them on. Young people, honor the authority in your midst. And so, like, but what's crazy is, like, again, in that text it says young and old. One of the marks of the Holy Spirit is that the older generation gets renewed with the Spirit and starts dreaming dreams for, like, I might have 3 years left, but those 3 years are going to be given to God and his kingdom, my whole heart. And the young amongst us, that's why we value kids so much, because we just know that we could have a 9-year-old at our church that gets filled with the Spirit and speaks something that changes our entire city. So I just want to pray for Hallie real quickly, and I want you to just, like, open your heart to her words, because I know she's been seeking God this week for him to speak. So, Lord, we just thank you for Hallie. I thank you for her life. Lord, I thank you for all the things that you've done in her to bring her here. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would fill her and speak through her to us this morning, and that we would receive those words into our hearts, God, and allow them to bear fruit. We just love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, am I on? Can y'all hear me? Hello, check. I had this really funny moment sitting right here while we were worshiping. It sounded amazing. Everybody was singing beautifully. And I had this funny moment where I was like, oh, I can't wait to hear what Jonathan's going to say today. And then it really hit me. Oh, I'm speaking, so I don't get to listen to him talk. But I do want to say, Jonathan, thank you just for the tact with which you said what you said earlier. I feel like that was really refreshing to hear a Christian perspective that was filled with love and humility and not hate. So thank you for that. And I'm really honored to speak today. I know that there's much that qualifies me because I'm 23 years old, and most of you guys have a lot of wisdom that I get to learn from, but I'm really grateful. And I just want to say to this church that when Logan and I started coming here, we were still in college and not even married, and we thought this was just going to be a little stint in, you know, until we did the next big thing that God had for us, until we moved away. And this has absolutely become our home, and that's because of you guys. And so I just want to thank you for the way that you've modeled the body of Christ so perfectly for us. It's impacted our individual lives and our marriage. And if someone were to ask us what's the best thing going on in your life right now, it would absolutely be Skyline. So thank you guys for doing that for us and just for modeling that out in the city. So we're going through the fruits of the Spirit as a church. And today I'm talking about peace, which is a little bit ironic because I've been through what's felt like kind of the most unpeaceful year of my life over the past year and a half. I'm a real big, am I too loud? I feel like I'm, okay. It sounds really loud here. I'm tired of hearing my voice already. It's been a long time. anyway, so I'm a big go-getter, and I'm somebody whose answer to myself is always try harder and do more and just, like, kind of dig in and be better. And God's been really clear over the past year or so to lay a lot of that down. It's been really clear for a while everywhere I went that the message was abide, rest, be still, lay down, all of that. And that's been really hard for me to kind of give up a lot of my ambitions and desires just for a little bit, to trust that I don't have to prove myself to people or to God, and that God loves me, and just to kind of let myself be filled with that. But it's been a really good time of my life to have that and to rest in that. And then if you add to that, I'm a big questioner, and I'm laughing because my coworkers are here and I have the reputation for ruining every story that anybody tells with a million questions. So one of our friends, Gentry, was telling a story about a crockpot exchange, which was like just a little minute detail in the whole story. And before she can finish, I'm like, okay, so how many crockpot, like who made what meals? And then like how many were there and how many meals did you have to make and how long did that take? And so I have that reputation for poking holes in things and asking questions, which can be great, but in a year of trying to rest, it's been really hard to kind of lay that down. And I met with Davidine, who led a Bible study for some of the women here. And I said, can I just meet with you? I have so many questions about Christianity. And so I met with her and I came with a huge typed out list. And I was like, okay, so starting number one, how do I be a Christian, you know, as a middle class woman in America? What does it mean for this? What does it mean when I pray for someone to be healed and they're not? What is it, you know, all these questions. And she was really sweet and wise, which is how she is if you know her. But by the end she said, Hal, you've got to just let those questions rest for maybe like 6 months and then come back to them and see if you still have them. But you've got to just rest and just kind of relax. So that's been my past year, is all of that. And it's been really hard for me, but it's been so worth it to trust God in that, to trust that he can work outside of my understanding and trust that he can, I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to work to earn his love. And so the thing I've learned about peace, or when we have a lack of peace, is that a lot of times it stems from a fear that God's not going to get it right. That if we knew somewhere deep in there that God would get it right and that he doesn't fail, I think we'd have a lot of peace. And so today I really only have one point, and it's really simple. But what it is that we, as the people of Christ Church, can be at peace because God is worth trusting. He's so worth trusting. Psalm 116:7 says, return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And that's kind of what I want to do today. That's my only goal, is just to remind you and reassure you that the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And that the guard can come down and your fists can unclench and your jaw can loosen, because you don't have to keep those walls up to keep everything safe and perfect. Because you are somebody who lives in the presence of God, and he is worth trusting with all of that. And so I wanna just encourage us that he is worth kind of putting all the chips into the center and betting everything on. You're not gonna lose doing that. And I think if we're in a place, probably most of us would say we experience a little bit of a lack of peace or not full peace. And if we're in that place, it's not because God's not willing to give it, because I believe that God is always willing to give the fruits of the Spirit. And if the fruit of the Spirit is peace, then we can assume that God is the most peaceful thing in the universe. That he and the Son and the Spirit live in perfect unity and perfect peace. He's never worried, he's never rushed, he's never afraid. And that's the kind of peace that he's inviting us into. And so I want to be somebody who steps into that and lives in that, because it's available to me. And today, all I want to do is create a space where you can kind of look into the eyes of the Father and see that peace, and where you can just have a little bit of space to relax and return to the rest that God's established for you already through the cross. I'm going to read through kind of some, I wrote out a bunch of landmarks of ways that God's been faithful in the past. I'm going to read through that. But before we do that, I want to pray over us, because I think a lot of times when we hear, especially stuff in the Bible, if you're like me and you have a lot of questions and you poke holes in things, it's really easy for the critic to kind of rear its head and be like, well, I don't know if the flood actually happened and what, you know, who was Noah? And, but today I want to maybe lay that critic aside and dare to believe that the Bible actually truthfully speaks about a God who wants to be known, and that outside of our understanding of it, the Bible is true, and that God is real, and that he actually works and he actually acts. So I'm going to pray for us real quick. God, would you, this morning as we read through the things that you've done through your people over the years, would you just speak to our spirits? And even if our minds can't logically wrap around it, I pray that your word and your character would cut through all of that to the core of who we are, that there would be something deep inside of us that knows you, that knows that you're real and that you work and that you care. So today, for everybody in this room, God, I pray that you would just speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, here we go. Hopefully you can stay with me. Our God is the God that created everything beautiful, everything lovely, every living thing we see, every soul, every ocean, and every laugh by simply the word of his mouth. When his people chose to follow the voice of another and disobey him in the garden, our God lovingly clothed them with dignity. When floods of sorrow and regret covered the earth, our God made a way for Noah and his family, the ones who loved him. When Abraham and Sarah were old, our God gave them a son who would go on to be the seed of God's chosen people. Our God established a covenant between himself and Israel, promising that he would always be with them as their God and that he would forever love them as his people. When Joseph was betrayed and sold to Egypt, our God appointed him into leadership and saved his family from perishing. When the angel of death descended to take the firstborn of every family in Egypt, it passed over God's people because of the blood on their doorways. When Moses led Israel out from slavery, our God made a dry path through the waters of the Red Sea and swallowed up the Egyptian oppressors. Our God spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai to give his people a way to live in shalom with each other and with their God. When his people were wandering in the desert, our God provided manna from the sky and water from a rock. Our God used the tiny army of Gideon to make his people victorious, and he used David's stone to defeat an entire army. Our God used the bravery of Esther to save his people from oppression. Every time his people turned from him, our God spoke through the prophets to call people to come back home and return to the one who loved them. And when his people's hearts were far off, when we were all crushed under the law and commandments and couldn't uphold our side of the covenant, our God fulfilled it on our behalf by sending his son to uphold it. When we were trapped in sin, pride, selfishness, addiction, loneliness, fear, lust, and lies, and we couldn't fight our way out of it, our God sent a victorious king to defeat the power of the enemy forever. Our God's love rose from the dead, from the grave. Here among us, our God has caused babies like Sawyer and Sully and Emerson and several that are still in the womb right now to have life and grow, even when doctors said they never would. Our God has brought one of our sons and one of our brothers in this church from a life of crippling addiction into a life of healing and ministry and hope. For many of us, God has redeemed the shame and the deep wounds of our past and has brought us out into freedom. God is restoring marriages in this room. He's shrinking tumors. He's encouraging the discouraged. He's putting the lonely in families. He's pouring out his love on this city through our radical generosity. He's unifying us to live as one body as we lay down our preferences and our comforts on behalf of each other. I'm seeing this happening every day among these people. He's exposing the lies that we've believed about who he is and about who we are, and he's replacing them all with truth. Our God is softening hearts. He's breathing life into our stale religion. And even though we've lost our way 1,000 times, our God keeps going out to find us, and he will never stop going out to find us. He has always, always, always provided a way for his people. He's always been good. He has always been just. He's always been wise. Nothing is too hard for him. His arm is never too short to reach us. He will always be slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And today, he's not disappointed in you. He's not tired of you. He's not frustrated, and he's not waiting for you to get it right. He's not just tolerating you. God has moved heaven and earth to come and get you, and in doing so, he has flung open the doors of his heart and his house to us. and we are in forever. We don't have to fight our way in. We don't have to prove our way in. We are in. And your place in his house is so secure. A writer, Ann Voskamp, said that all fear is but the notion that God's love ends. And we are the most blessed people of all because we serve a God whose love never, ever ends or gets tired. This is our God, and he is so worth trusting. But I also want to address the inevitable today, because I know that every time we tell stories of God's goodness, each one of us has a story of loss or confusion or pain where we go, where was God then? Where was God when we prayed for healing and nothing happened? Where was God when Eric Garner was strangled? Where was God when the disaster hit Nepal? Where was he when a boy in Charleston opened fire in a church? And how do we trust a God who allows things like this to happen? I really wish I had a good answer, because that's the kind of questions that keep me up at night. I don't have a good answer for that. But what I do know is that the key to our peace is not in looking into the horizon and forecasting all of the awful things that could happen to us so that we're prepared when they do. We don't have any peace in that. And our peace is not in blaming God or even asking him why. Our peace, the key to our peace, is letting our deep understanding of God's goodness outweigh and overshadow our experience of the world's brokenness. I'll say that again. The key to our peace is in letting the deep understanding of God's goodness outweigh and overshadow our experience of the world's brokenness. And I know that's hard, especially when some people in this room, our wounds are really fresh. But like Jonathan said a couple weeks ago, maybe we can start, instead of asking why, we can start to look to God and say, who is God in this? Who is God in light of the world's brokenness and in light of pain? And maybe we can let ourselves know him as a God who mourns with his people. He mourns over the loss of his loved ones. It says that the death of his people is precious in his sight. That's the kind of God that we serve. And so today, if you've been devoid of peace, like I've been for a while, I want to ask you, where are your eyes and what are you looking at? A.W. Tozer says that faith is nothing more than the continuous gaze of the heart on God. And so I want to ask you, are your eyes fixed on the world and the tragedy that can be really easily evident in the world? Or are your eyes fixed on God and who Jesus is? And are you letting your circumstances and your pain shape your view of who God is? Or are you letting your view of God shape your outlook on your circumstances? Because I think that's where our peace is. And if you are in a place where you're not having peace and your eyes are fixed on the fears of what could be or what isn't, I just want to suggest humbly that you adjust your gaze. Because Jesus is the inventor of hope and healing and life and light. Jesus is the one whose death on the cross guarantees us that God cares, and his resurrection proves to us that he's powerful. He's worth trusting, and his love for us is the surest thing in the universe. There's nothing more steady or more sure than God's love for us. So today, I hope that that can kind of wash over your soul. And I guess the band could go ahead and come back up. That's pretty much all I have. But before we go back into worship, I want to have just a little bit of space for us to kind of lay out our hearts before God. And I don't know where you are. Maybe you have a wound or grief that's really fresh. And if that's the case, if you're not in a place where you're able to trust God, that's okay. I think he understands that, but maybe you can just sit and let these words kind of speak to your spirit. If you're in a place where you have a lot of anxiety or worry or fear, I pray that today you could see those circumstances in the light of who God is. And maybe you just spend that time kind of going through those things and viewing them in front of God and in light of who he is. And if you're someone like me who's kind of plagued with questions and doubts, and that's been stealing your peace, today I want to just invite you just for a little bit to kind of let the question cease And let God and the Holy Spirit speak to your soul and your spirit, and without having to get it, without having to understand, to be able to trust in his love and who he is. Today, it is so safe for each of us to return to our rest, because the Lord, who didn't spare his own son, has surely dealt bountifully with us. And I want to say, I guess everybody can kind of stay and meditate in your seats, and then we'll do communion after. But if you're somebody who is really, really struggling with one of those things, with anxiety or worry or fear, I just want to invite you, if you want to come down to the front and we can pray. No pressure, but if you're somebody that's kind of been your norm for a while, I just want to invite you to come, and we'll pray together.